Welcome in. Daily Tap for Saturday. This is our first Saturday pod. Fired up for it. Hope you guys had a good Friday night. Maybe you're listening to this if you're recovering from a little bit of a hangover or you're getting your day started before the NFL playoffs and Bucks basketball tonight. Marquette plays this evening. It is a great day of sports. Looking forward to it as always. So like I said, you can find us SnowTapWI. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We also have a website, SnowTapWI.com. Visit there. All the different takes. I will say our weekend pods might kind of double into what we may write on the site, only because I don't know what kind of time I have. So obviously some of this stuff I'd like to write about as well. But weekends are tough. So we have stuff to do. I wish I could blog all day on Saturday and Sunday. And hopefully maybe one day I can. But errands are to run. Got to get some stuff taken care of. So that's the gist of it. So pretty bad night on Friday for Wisconsin sports fans. Whether you're a Bucks fan, whether you're a Badger fan, whether you're a fan of both teams. It was not the greatest. And then all sorts of drama surrounding the Packer GM search. We'll dive into all of that. So starting out, Bucks last night probably laid as big of an egg as they have in the Bradley Center in quite some time. They are now 13-7 at home, so they've been pretty good at home, but they were pretty lifeless in the second half, just completely nothing. As the Bucks lose last night 129-110 in a pretty garbage effort in the second half, mostly in that third quarter, where they're outscored 43-19 by the Toronto Raptors. They get absolutely dominated on the offensive glass. And man, oh man, did Jason Kidd just be outcoached again by Dwayne Casey. It's becoming a theme, and I hope that John Horst and management realizes that Jason Kidd gets outcoached by the better coaches in the league. It is not hard to see. And the Bucks are just still stuck in a few years ago. Dean Mallett of all the Bucks, who's literally probably one of the best, if not the best, follow for Bucks basketball, you know, had this stat breakdown of how many mid-range jumpers the Bucks were shooting versus three-point shots and compared it to the Raptors, and it flipped. And that is hustling backwards. That is not what the NBA is about. The NBA is not about mid-range jumpers. It's about layups and three-pointers. And yet the Bucks have yet to address either because they don't have a big man and they don't have that many guys who can shoot threes. Like, Jason Kidd is insistent on playing DeAndre Liggins, and I don't fucking get it. I don't know what it's going to take for DeAndre Liggins to get off this roster, but please get off my fucking team, DeAndre. Like, there is nothing redeeming about him. He does not play that good of defense. He just, what is there? Why are we still doing this dance with DeAndre Liggins? It doesn't make any sense to me. And then Rashad Vaughn, first-round draft pick from 2 years ago, gets a do-not-play in a with garbage time all over the place. So what's the future of Rashad Vaughn? They've sent him to the D-League. They've sent him to this different things. What is the future of Rashad Vaughn? And to add salt to that wound, Gerald Green just absolutely killing it with the Houston Rockets over three games. And yet the Bucks had him on the roster, could have been a Beasley-like player for them, who, by the way, also about Beasley, having a pretty damn good year with the New York Knicks. And yet we just don't seem to, like, there's been a lot of mismanagement with this roster, and it's starting to get some vibes of 2015. I know what I said on yesterday where I said, hey, it looks like they're starting to come together a little bit. They were, but, and I'm not overreacting to just one game, but they're just keep doing the same dumb fucking mistakes. And how many times can you do it before you say, okay, I have to change this? And the Bucks are back to blitzing defense. Jason Kidd's never going to give up his blitzing defense. So Jason Kidd is consistently stubborn. He has proven himself to be a stubborn coach, and the Bucks are going nowhere until he figures his shit out. He has to get smarter. He has to get more advanced. And yet they are being stuck in 2009 NBA basketball when Kidd was playing and playing at a high rate. It is bullshit. It is garbage. And that's just frustrating. It really is. It really just, every time you think the Bucks are going to kind of take this next step and win and kind of get the ball rolling, they don't. You know, they look so good against Toronto on New Year's Day. And basically the thought was, the consensus thought, and I heard Ted Davis even and Dennis Krause say this on the radio broadcast against Indiana, was the Bucks would have won that game had it not been for DeMar DeRozan going off and having a career night. And you can accept that loss because Toronto's a tough place to play, whatever. And then you come back Friday night and you get dominated in the post by Serge Ibaka and Jonas Valanciunas. Like, Valanciunas has been pretty average all year, and I don't think he even played that many minutes last night, and yet he was a goddamn stud. Jovial last night played 17 minutes and had 20 points and 13 fucking rebounds. Are you serious? He was a plus 22 PER. Serge was a plus 35, 21 and 5 in the post. So the Bucks gave up 41 points in the post last night for two of their better post players. They were out rebounded, 12 offensive rebounds for the Raptors. I mean, Jesus Christ, Bucks. They were actually out rebounded. And rebounding numbers aren't always the best to look at, but 43 to 28. What? How are the Bucks expected to win a playoff series with this type of stuff? They have to address this big man issue. It's not DeAndre Jordan. It may be Robin Lopez. It may be somebody else. But they have to get somebody in there that's going to develop a big presence. I like John Henson. I actually think John Henson has had a sneaky good year. But he's not getting it done. He only had two rebounds. Now, granted, Thon had a nice 10-8 game, and in 26 minutes, he played pretty well. But continually, just not good. I mean, yes, there were some bright spots, I guess. Dellavedova had another nice game, but Chris Middleton only shooting 10 shots. He played 30 minutes. He was terrible. Eric Bledsoe really not good last night as well. So now the Bucks have to go to Washington, another place they haven't played well. A Wizards team who doesn't particularly like them, likes to usually turn it up. Gortat could have a big game. Although I will say both teams are coming off a back-to-back. Wizards played last night in Memphis, so both had to travel. It's going to kind of be who's ever the grittiest out there. Giannis should have a big advantage going up against Otto Porter and Kelly Oubre, and we'll see if the Bucks can get something done. But John Wall and Bradley Beal have been pains in that thorn in the past. So we'll see. The Bucks definitely, last time they played the Wizards, had a garbage effort and struggled with their bench, which is one of the worst in the league, maybe worse than the Bucks. So take that for a grain of salt. So Bucks could need this one, and we'll see if they can get it done tonight. But yeah, just fire Jason Kidd. I don't know how many times that this has to be said, and I know that people are just banging down this door and the avatars and everything, but like, you have to start looking at this and saying, okay, this is not improving. They are making these same mistakes and just running into a brick wall time and time again. How many times can you run yourself into the same fucking wall before you realize that it's broken? And the Bucks, I wouldn't say the team's broken, rather the coaching staff is broken, and it showed again against Toronto. So that's the takes there. I use the term drama to kind of open the podcast about the Green Bay Packer GM search, and I think the drama is there. I guess let's start with the Bob McGinn hot take of the day, where McGinn said that if Russ Ball is hired as the GM, McCarthy is going to quit. Bob McGinn is a respected journalist. We know that. I wrote about Snowtap WI. It's a website earlier this week, criticizing McGinn for calling Thompson's health into this whole scenario. And McGinn, again, kind of goes fast and loose with a story about it. And he had sources, which is fine. But here's the thing. Bob McGinn is not working for the Journal Sentinel. And he has to get people to subscribe, as Bart Winkler of 105.7 The Fan pointed out. Like, he has to get people to subscribe to his shit. So he is just doling out hot take after hot take. And because people have this whole cloud of respected journalism who's been around and a Hall of Fame writer, they're going to latch on to anything he says. It's gospel to these people. And so I don't believe that for one second. I think Bob's full of shit. You can tell him I said that if anyone knows him. But I think that is that's just garbage. And that apparently I've switched from trash to garbage. So that's the word today. Also, too, in the couple denies, the Packers were denied a request to interview Reggie McKenzie as well as John Schneider from the Seattle Seahawks. Reggie McKenzie is a bummer. I kind of thought maybe that was a possibility with the John Gruden hiring, because Gruden is now making 10 years, $100 million. And as our famous drop, he seems like he's going to be the big dick in the Cracker Factory, and McKenzie's role might be diminished, and Gruden may call the shots more than he'd like. Now, according to the Raiders, they're saying, well, McKenzie's still going to have, control and everything like that. I almost wonder, and this is kind of out there, but work with me, that McKenzie might see how things go, see how the process goes, and then maybe he quits. And the Packers do need a GM before the draft. They need someone in there around the Super Bowl. But I almost wonder if McKenzie's going to feel it out for a couple weeks, get to meet with John, and if he might say fuck this and go. And if he quits, then he's for game, and then the Packers might go after him. So I don't know if the Packers would wait that out. We'll see. The John Schneider thing is more interesting because Schneider is under contract, under a big contract. He's under contract till 2021. So the Packers would have to trade for him. Now, what the Packers could argue is that the deny can't happen because Pete Carroll holds somewhat of an influence there in Seattle and could petition to the commissioner. Mark Murphy could. Odds are that they wouldn't go that far. Would the Packers make a trade for John Schneider? Maybe. I mean, throwing this out there. And this is sort of out there, but let's roll with it. You know, I think it would take about a second or third round pick to get John Schneider and probably a player. So with the issues with wide receiver, I mean, if you traded Randall Cobb, now granted, you have Doug Baldwin and you're like, why would you need another Doug Baldwin? They do need another receiver. I don't think Jordy Nelson would get them to bite. I think Randall Cobb may just because of his age. And maybe you throw that out there. Maybe you try to trade Brian Bulaga, another guy who would definitely add to that offensive line. And then you have two offensive tackles in Duane Brown and Brian Bulaga. All of a sudden, you kind of have fixed your offensive line. So maybe Bulaga's the answer. Maybe it's not Randall Cobb. And you try to see if you can deal Bulaga as well as a third or second round pick for John Schneider. Because I think that's what it's going to take. I think it's going to take a prominent player as well as a high draft pick to get the Seahawks to trade John Schneider to the Packers because it's inside the NFC. It's not like the Packers, the Seahawks are in the AFC West, where I think it might be a little different. I think it might be a little easier. I think it becomes kind of hard to do this. But I think what this shows or what this tells us is the Packers aren't just looking at internal guys. That should make fans feel a lot better and make fans feel like they looked at Eric DaCosta, apparently, who is the assistant GM for the Baltimore Ravens, another guy who definitely has some experience building rosters. I mean, the Ravens, say what you will about that, they've kind of struggled, but I'd argue that their roster construction is good. They just have been hampered by the fact that Joe Flacco turned into a trash can over the last few years. And then they also are looking at Doug Whaley, the ex-GM for the Bills. Another interesting one, Doug Whaley didn't really make a lot of friends with the owners of the Bills, but he did make some shrewd moves, and you can argue that what the Bills making the playoffs was a direct reflection of how Whaley built that roster. Granted, they got rid of some of the guys that Whaley brought in, like the Sammy Watkins, the Marcel Darius. Those are guys he drafted, but they got rid of those guys more so because they were problem childs, but he also had Tyrod Taylor. I mean, he's made some really good moves, and yeah, I don't have an issue with, and they also did a good job of building the offensive line. That's going back to McKenzie. That was the thing that intrigued me about McKenzie, is McKenzie built a kick-ass offensive line. He also like signed free agents, and yes, some of them didn't work out. Like Sean Smith, not that great of a corner. We'll see if the Packers can make that happen with any of those guys. But it's good to see they're looking at external candidates. They also tried to interview Terrell Austin of the Detroit Lions, and that got denied for their defensive coordinator position. So again, they're looking at guys outside of the organization. Alex Marvez of Sporting News reported Darren Perry is the leader in the clubhouse for the Packers defensive coordinator job. We'll see if that does happen. Sort of thing is more quiet than others. Finishing up here, we got a couple things. A quick hit on the Badgers. They looked pretty good against Indiana. They go to Rutgers. The Rack is a tough place to play, but Rutgers hadn't been playing that well. And then Wisconsin lets Corey Sanders go off for 23 points, who had barely been scoring in the last three games. And they turn the ball over 14 times, I think 14 times, compared to Rutgers 6, which isn't good. And they, 14-6, and Ethan Happ had set half of them, and Brad Davidson had another 5. So between those guys, they had 12 of the 14 turnovers, your two leaders, and now the Badgers pretty much are playing for an automatic bid to the tournament because it's not looking good. 8 losses already. They're going to have to do something pretty quick and do something pretty remarkable to get themselves into the NCAA tournament. They're officially way off the bubble. Kind of reminds me of the first year of Steve Wojciechowski. So my advice to Badger fans is just look for bright spots. Just look for these young guys. Look for maybe an upset win here or there. But it's going to be a tough winter, especially for those who are Packer and Badger fans. I'd look for another team, maybe tree for Oklahoma, maybe look at, I don't know, the Milwaukee Bucks, and find somebody who you can root for, because, yeah, this is going to be an ugly couple of months for Badger fans. Wrapping up with the NFL playoffs, so we have two games on Sunday. We did talk about today's games, the Titans and Chiefs and the Falcons and Rams on the podcast yesterday. So if you did not listen to Daily Tap last week or yesterday, go back in, take a look, and listen to that. So with the Bills and Jags, I think this game is going to be a slobber knocker, but it also probably can trend in the Jaguars' direction. Tyrod Taylor does make a lot of mistakes, not a lot of interceptions. It will be interesting to see if he's elusive enough to make the Jacksonville defense, you know, struggle. I mean, Calais Campbell's had a great year, arguably defensive player of the year. Jacksonville has 55 sacks on the season, and we'll see if they can, if Tyrod Taylor can frustrate him. We did see what a mobile quarterback like Russell Wilson did against this Jacksonville defense, and it gives you reason to think maybe the Bills have an outside shot at winning this game. Now, LeSean McCoy has to be healthy. If LeSean McCoy is like 75%, I don't know if they can win it. Tyrod Taylor is good, but he can't carry a roster, especially when, you know, the guys like Jalen Ramsey, things like that, they can play a little more free with how bad the Bills' receivers are. And looking at the Jags side of things, you know, Leonard Fournette, I mean, I don't know if he's healthy, same with Shady, but man, he has a prime matchup. He probably has the best matchup of any running back this weekend, a guy who I think a lot of people on DraftKings are going to like. He has that Bills defense that has been porous against the run, especially of late. So we'll see if Fournette can get going. I still think Blake Bortles can be a decent quarterback and be a game manager. All he has to do is be a game manager. And I think what people are underestimating about the Jaguars, and I will admit I'm a little higher on the Jaguars than other people, but what people are forgetting is the fact that the Jaguars didn't really have a receiving core for a little while. Allen Hurns got hurt. We know Allen Robinson's out for the year. And Marquise Lee got banged up at the end of the year. Now they have Hurns, Lee, Dede Westbrook, and Keelan Cole all there, which is a pretty solid four. There's no wide receiver one on that team, but that's a decent look. So not terrible. I think the Jags end up winning. I think they end up covering the spread. I think it's around 20-10. That seems about right. 20-9 maybe. That feels right, feels good. And then to wrap it up, Saints-Panthers, I think this game, the more I've thought about it, the more I think this is going to be a blowout to the Saints' direction. I don't know what's been up with Cam Newton. Cam Newton, I think, has zero receivers. I think that's the real issue, that Cam Newton, the Carolina needs to spend money on receivers, just like San Francisco does, to bring in a guy who can complement Devin Funchess, maybe even in the draft, look at a receiver, because they are in desperate need of kind of rebuilding that offense. Greg Olsen has struggled on turf this year with his foot injury, so that's another issue. It would be I think they're going to really struggle, and I think Cam Newton's going to have to, unless Jonathan Stewart and Christian McCaffrey are able to carry him. Saints run defense, not that good, so maybe they can. But that's going to be the only way they win this game. The Saints seem primed for a long run. Drew Brees with Michael Thomas, and then having Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. I know that rush defense for Carolina is good, but Kamara and Ingram have kind of been matchup proof. It doesn't really matter, especially Kamara. I think Ingram might struggle a little more, but Kamara can do so much. I mean, he's going to win Rookie of the Year, and he should probably get votes for MVP. He's been that good this year, and I love his demeanor. I love his style, his swagger. He's a guy who I think is going to be a star. He's already a star, but he's going to be someone who I think a lot of people latch on to for years to come. So I like the Saints big in that. I think they win about 35-17. I feel pretty good about the Saints' chances in that football game. So that about does it for us. Made a decision on Sunday. I am going to go out drinking tonight with my friends. I'm going to give you probably a hangover podcast on Sunday morning. At least fire it up before the games. Recap what happened Saturday in sports, since it's loaded, as I mentioned at the start. So we got a lot to talk about. So, and maybe, who knows, more Packer GM stuff could leak out. Who knows? Maybe we're even more mad at Jason Kidd. But we will talk tomorrow, Tappers, and look forward to doing that. And then we will be back then Sunday night. So I'm doing a double on Sunday on the Lord's Day. And that one will probably have a lot of previewing the college football playoff. So we will talk tomorrow, Tappers, multiple times. And let's once again, find us, SnowTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Maybe give us a rating if you're feeling generous. Much appreciated. And you all have a lovely Saturday. Maybe see some of you out if you're in the Milwaukee area. Peace.